Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, you know what I found back by my desk this morning?
That could be anything.
I found two WGN Radio Christmas ornaments with our pictures on them.
Really? Our pictures on them?
Yeah. I don't know from what year these are from, but I do remember. Remember over at the Tribune Tower, at the old dump where we used to
work? I was waiting for that comment.
you know, it was they decorated the building beautifully. And we decorated, we always do actually still decorate the WGN Radio hallways beautifully.
They are.
Is that Marlene Wells who does that?
Of course.
Sure it is.
Sure
it's
got to be Marlene.
Yeah.
That's got Marlene Wells written all
yes.
over. Yes. She decorates beautifully. But over at the old dump, they, and I mean that in the most Christmassy way possible.
Of course
possible.
You do. In all sincerity.
They used to have a big Christmas tree in the lobby with our with a giant Christmas tree, and they have a giant menorah and like a Kwanzaa.
The main lobby of the building.
Display. No, in WGN.
Oh, in WGN's lobby.
Yeah, in WGN. Okay. The Tribune lobby was also very beautiful.
Oh, it was.
Still is. It's very nice.
Remember that great wreath they used to have right above the door?
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful.
I miss walking into that building.
And yet you refer to it as the old dump.
No, what are you going to do?
Hey, is what it is.
Mattress store is not as romantic as a once thriving newspaper and radio station. But they had these displays. And on the Christmas tree, they had ornaments featuring each of the employees that worked there. And apparently, I must have stolen the ones from us. Because I have them at my desk.
You have them now?
Yeah.
I want to see them.
They're at my desk. I didn't bring them in because this is radio. And I figure, what's the point of that? But we look like we're in high school.
It wasn't that long ago.
I am Dean Richards.
It wasn't that long ago.
Do a food show.
That's what it looks like. Do you know I used to wear a tie when I would come into work?
Really? I remember wearing a tie.
I would come in with a tie, a shirt and tie.
We had to. My first job, we had to wear a tie to work.
Here?
No, not here. First radio job.
In Hammond. Indiana?
Yeah, we had to wear a tie. That was the deal. Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yep, had to.
I did work at a station. It was the old WCFL, actually, across the street over at Marina City, where they told us they wanted us to wear a tie. And I said, well, I'm on from 7 to midnight. Nobody's in the office.
You still had to wear one.
Yet I want you to wear a tie, because if you dress sharp, you'll think sharp. And I said, so does that theory also apply? If I dress uncomfortable, I'll think uncomfortable? Because that's how I felt.
I got away without wearing a tie over there.
How did you? Now you.
I worked overnights. I worked overnights.
Yeah, but you're in news.
Yeah.
You should wear a tie. You should wear a tie on this show.
Okay.
Don Norton used to wear a tie on the show.
Oh, Don, of course, was, you know, the epitome of being very well
dressed
and professional. Sure.
Not like you.
All right.
I just like to point out we're all wearing sweatshirts.
There's my New Year's resolution.
Oh, how the times have changed. We're all wearing sweatshirts.
Good old Dino.
I think I'm going to go over to the couch. Remember he used to say that all the time?
Go over to the couch.
Over to the couch. Sitting on the piano smoking a cigarette.
A beverage in hand.
Classic.
Remember how he used to slide down the pole to begin the show?
Yeah.
It
was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
Dean Martin, old variety show. I'm pretty much in the holiday spirit. I'm pretty much full of the holiday spirit right now.
You're full of the... Okay,
holiday,
I'm glad you clarified
holiday
that.
Spirit, yeah. Because I knew you would end the sentence if I didn't. Yeah, I got these ornaments. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture of those ornaments.
And I want to see them.
I'll put them. Well, I'll show them to you.
Okay,
relax. That's
no. I do.
Calm down.
I think Shawnee wants to see him.
I'll get him. I'll go get him during one of the newscasts.
Now, right now.
Because I never pay attention to the newscasts anyway, so I may
right.
as well.
No, it's either one thing or another.
Doing something productive.
Paying attention to my every word.
I hang on your every word
or
always.
Or now you're not paying any attention.
I always hang on your every word. Okay. Never miss a minute.
So you're in the holiday?
I never miss
holiday?
A beat. I never miss a beat. Shawnee's got his finger on the pulse of Chicago, and I never miss a beat
Don't
of
miss it.
It.
So you're in the holiday.
Thump, thump. Thump, thump. I'm going to take a picture of the ornaments, and I'll post them on social media. So that way all of Chicago
can... Everybody can see them.
Can see how dopey we look.
They can't be that far back,
It must
though.
Have been dressed like a nerd day the day that we took those pictures. We look goofy in those pictures.
Well,
I love a good embarrassing.
I don't like pictures of me anyway, so.
I love embarrassing pictures.
Oh, here we go now.
They're fun. Oh, I'm not talking about those pictures.
All right.
Those are the blackmail pictures.
You know, there isn't one Sunday that doesn't come up anymore.
The blackmail pictures?
The blackmail pictures, yes.
Well,
there isn't one Sunday that somewhere along the show could be, you know, our abbreviated versions of 45 minutes.
There's always time.
And it still comes up.
Talk about the pictures that I have of Shawnee and I in Greektown.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. I'm telling you, this is both of us.
Well, that narrows
it down.
I'm glad you admit it.
People expect me to do stupid things, but you are a pillar of the community. So it's shocking that you were also partaking in this. But I have photographic evidence of it locked up. And I've instructed Shawnee that when I die, before he calls the coroner, before he calls 911, anything... Get to my house and get those
pictures.
Because if those things get out, you'll also be dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to post the pictures of the ornaments. I'll do that sometime this morning. And, I'll let the holiday cheer begin. I put my Polk Brothers Santa up.
Oh, yeah.
It's an annual tradition. He's hanging in there.
How long have you had it?
I've had it. Well, you know how I got it? I was complaining on the air. I know you find that hard to believe.
You?
When I first started here, I was talking about how I wished I had a Polk Brothers Santa Claus that I never...
Someone sent you one.
Well, I went and got it. I bought it from them. I bought it. There was somebody downsizing. You know, they wanted to get rid of all their stuff. And they had a mint condition Polk Brothers Santa Claus, and I paid cash on the spot, and now I've had this. So it was, when did I start here? 93, 94, something like that. That's how long I've had it. Hmm. And I display it. First year or so, I would put it outside my house, and then I thought, somebody's going to steal it. Or deface it, you know, it's going to have graffiti on it or something. So.
Especially when they find out it belongs to you.
Right. Could have been much worse, believe me. So now I put it inside my house. But you can see it. I have, you know, I open up the blinds so people can see.
With the lamp, with the leg,
into my palatial mansion. Do you know what? I was going to tell you the history of the Polk Brothers Santa Claus. So I go to the Google, and I type in Polk Brothers Santa Claus. You want to know what the first thing that comes up on a search of Polk Brothers Santa?
What is that?
It's Dean Richards. It's a video of me on the morning news. Dean Richards on his vintage Polk Brothers Santa Claus on the morning news.
That's the first thing that comes up?
This was during COVID when I was, you know, we were doing stuff from home. And I had it up in my living room with my Christmas tree. And it was a very pretty holiday setting that I had in my living room. then I'm explaining to the anchors, you know, the history of the Polk Brothers Santa, blah, blah, blah. And as a joke, I walk away from the camera, to reposition the Pope Brothers Santa Claus that's behind me. And as a joke, I was only wearing boxer shorts. So it's actually pretty funny. And again, I'm an idiot.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah. Fast forward to the end.
There we go.
Put that up on social media.
Yeah, you want to get the money shot.
Nice jacket tie and
bucka bucka bow bow.
Boxer shorts.
And super baggy boxer shorts.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Those are theatrical boxer shorts. Those are not actual boxer shorts. I tried to find the ugliest boxer shorts.
The ones with the big diamonds on them?
Yeah, oh, I wanted like the ugliest designs on them as possible.
Does that have a green and blue flannel? Looks like.
Yeah. Joke. But it's good because it looks like it looks like a really warm, in the beginning of the video, it looks like a beautiful, warm Christmas setting. And then Knucklehead walks away and he's not wearing pants.
Only you. Only you.
What was I thinking?
No one's watching anyway, right?
It's only the number one morning show in Chicago. Nobody's watching. You know what? If I had pants on, then people would have been shocked.
Yes.
On that show, nobody's shocked if you don't have pants on.
Good. But you were at home, right?
I was at home.
You were at home.
Feeling comfortable.
I was feeling
comfortable. That lived-in look.
Nice and comfy at home.
You were looking comfortable and thinking comfortable.
I just happened to have a sport coat on and tie and forgot to put my pants on.
Could happen to anyone.
Whoopsie-daisy. Let's see here. You've got the far-flung forecast, right?
I do.
In a minute? Okay.
I do. An important piece of history took place today. Very important.
Well, you know, every far-flung forecast is more important than the next.
Oh, well, yeah, there's some that are, you know, have more importance than others.
Oh, but, they are. They are. I think most intellectuals are all around the world would agree when they get their protractors.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I take a second here to thank a very, very loyal listener who we hear from time to time, who sent me a very nice Christmas card this week. Aww. And in the card itself, there was a little gift.
Money?
No, no money, but there was a little gift and there was a little envelope there, and I thought, well, what is this?
Uh-oh.
And I opened it up, and it was a mini compass, like the compasses we used to use in drafting, you know, just a little mini compass, just to, you know, to go along with what we say, get out your compasses and protractors.
Sweet so is that. That's
I want to
cool.
thank this person very, very
nice
much.
Of you to remember their name.
Well, Annette. I want to thank Annette for sending us and listening all of these years, and a very, very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yeah. This is our last show before Christmas.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
We're preempted next week.
Next week.
Holiday
programming. Right.
So, this
will be on New Year's Eve.
Yep. Yep. This is our big Christmas extravaganza today.
So, again, thanks to Annette and all of our listeners, the best in the world.
Today also will be our final visit with Dr. Kevin Most.
Today's the last one?
Today is his final appearance.
He will be missed.
He's retiring. He announced last week he's retiring. So he's going to be on with us today, and then he's going to be traveling for the holidays. So he won't be on with us. But, today we say goodbye to one of the most beloved people on this program. I think one of the most interesting
on the station.
On the station.
Yes.
One of the most interesting segments provided Dr. Kevin Most signing off today. So I hope I don't get emotional. I might. I'm a crier this time of year.
Yeah.
A lot of things set
I have
off.
To admit, things can really get to you.
Yeah,
yes.
Things that, you know, like a little emotion. I was watching some Christmas movie the other day. And it reminded me of growing up, but I'm sitting like an idiot, getting all teary. I'm a sucker for that. I wanted to just quickly mention also the death of a longtime friend. Shawnee, you know John Weatherby.
Yes.
You remember because we both worked at WFYR back in the day, Fire Radio. And John was one of the DJs on that station, and he passed away this past Thursday.
Very sorry to hear this. Yeah. Great guy to work with.
John.
Terrific guy.
John, I spoke with him about a year ago. We, you know, he moved to Georgia. He became a TV weatherman. How funny is that? Weatherman.
Yeah.
Big John Weatherby is what they called him on the air because he was 6'9". But a sweet guy. Really, really sweet guy. Met his wife, Diana, here while he was working in Chicago. They had been married, it's got to be 40 years, 40, 50 years, something like that. But he passed away of cancer this week, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember hearing John Weatherby on the air. He was a wonderful man, and our condolences to his wife, Diana. He had 3 daughters and 5 grandchildren.
Whoa!
How can somebody our age have grandchildren, Chuani?
I have people my age, our age, and a bit younger that I have as many as 6 or 7.
That's not possible.
It is. Yes, it is.
It's not possible.
It's entirely possible.
Not youngsters like us. That's not possible. All right. Far-flung forecast me right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, kids of all ages, it's time for the greatest holiday present of all, the Far-Flung Forecast. Our weekly compendium of interesting facts and figures presented to us each week by Father Christmas himself, Dave Schwann.
Andy was whistling right along in the room. I was a little
confused.
Who
doesn't? All of Chicago puts their lips together when it's time for this feature.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, and good morning. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Get out your compasses and protractors and
thanks
newfangled.
Thanks for sending a gift to us.
And thanks for sending.
Thanks for sending a gift to Andy and me.
Exactly.
And your newfangled devices, because today we go to Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina.
Oh, my. That sounds ominous.
Kill Devil Hills.
Kill Devil Hill.
North Carolina. Population around 7,600.
I think I know where this may be going if it's in North Carolina.
Yes, and you may have a very good idea. Kill Devil Hills actually is a new municipality, relatively speaking. Mm. Became a town in 1953, but Kill Devil Hills is adjacent to another, perhaps better known location in North Carolina, Kitty Hawk.
Oh, okay.
You were going to say Mayberry.
I was going to say Mayberry.
No.
Mount Pilot?
Mount Pilot.
Is it near Mount Pilot?
No, more closer to Siler City. That's where they listen to the radio station, where Leonard Blush does the show.
Yeah, talk about bringing something up every single week on the show.
You know, they get, no, wait a minute, the show comes in from Mount Pilot on the WKRPX3L.
TikTok, far-flung forecast.
Okay, but Kill Devil Hills is adjacent to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, where two brothers named Wilbur and Orville Wright, 120 years ago, in fact, right about now, flew the very first heavier-than-air aircraft.
Isn't that something?
120 years ago, at around 10:35, they're an hour ahead of us out there, on December 17th, 1903.
How about that?
And there is an awesome memorial there to them, and a wonderful place to visit, beautiful area to see, and really inspiring. But this is where, 120 years ago today, the Wright brothers flew the first plane.
I'm going to think about that. I'm getting on a plane today. I have to go do some interviews in L.A.
Are you leaving on a jet plane?
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when
and
I'll
you don't
be
know
back
when
again.
You'll be back again. Dave, did you hear that, Andy?
I did.
In honor of the Wright brothers, when I'm on my flight today, I will utter the words that the Wright brothers did to each other on that first flight. Do you have to recline your seat right into my lap?
Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina. Seeing the effects of that storm that hit Florida earlier in the weekend here, it's rainy and 58 there.
A Chicago classic, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, you probably first saw on WGN-TV going back to the 1950s with the great Frazier Thomas, and then through the years, included as part of our holiday programming. These days, we always feature Hard Rock Coco and Joe as part of our a special holiday presentation, Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN TV Classics, which, by the way, will be on Christmas morning from 9 a.m. until 11. In fact, you're going to get a lot of Bozo retro programming. We've got Bozo Gar and Ray from 9 to 11, including Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman, in addition to the amazing history of some of the most popular, Chicago television shows for kids. Then from 11 to 1, Bozo Circus the 1960s. And from 1 to 3, Bozo Circus the 1970s. So if you grew up in Chicago and you watched Bozo Circus Christmas morning and Christmas afternoon, we've got a lot for you starting at 9 a.m. going all the way until 3 o'clock. Some good stuff to look forward to. I'll tell you who else is a Chicago classic, and that's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Happy holidays to you there, my friend.
Dean, how are you? I hope that parents tune in to Channel 9 on Christmas Day and let their kids see some classic TV. That just listening to that just brings back so many memories.
Right,
very cool. Very cool you do that.
We get, I don't remember the first year that we ran this. It's been quite a number of years now. And every single year, we get people saying that my kids watched it for the first time and they were mesmerized because it's a completely different kind of programming than they do for kids on television now. It was slow. They let it breathe. And it was silly and fun. And that's what television was back then for kids. So, yeah, we look forward to that Christmas Day. So, not going to get maudlin for your final broadcast with us here on Sunday morning yet. I will shortly. But today is Kevin's final broadcast with us. He announced last week that he is retiring, a well-deserved rest to spend more time with family and friends. We'll talk more about all of that in a second, but I wanted to open up our phone lines and our text line. A lot of people last week when you made the announcement had beautiful, wonderful words for you. So if you want to get on the line now to tell Kevin what he meant to you, 312-981-7200. Little business, though, first. There have been a lot of stories this week about these so-called weight loss drugs, these diabetes drugs, Ozempic and Mounjaro. Safe for people to use? What's your take on all of this?
Yeah, Dean, you know, it's really interesting. Remember when these drugs first came out, they were used to treat type 2 diabetes. And while during those studies of how well it worked for diabetes, it also showed that it had a very significant impact on people's weight. So what happened is, boy, anything that we can do to take a pill to lose weight or take a shot to lose weight, people jumped on. And the studies that came out this week are interesting that almost 50% of the diabetics who were taking this drug for diabetes alone stopped taking it within 1 year. So that's a little concerning. And they didn't look into the reasons why. They just said, are you taking it or have you stopped on your own without your physician's approval? And it was over 50%. Now, we know there's a lot of side effects from it, and that's when you get to talking about the safety of it. We have to be really careful, and people have to go into it with open eyes to make sure that they understand that this taking of medication is not just a dissolving weight and everything's peachy keen, that there are side effects from it, and there's some concerns and dangers when you take a medication like this.
What are some of the side effects that are involved?
Well, the side effects that really probably made the individual stop taking it from the diabetes side of it are nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. So you have to remember that this drug works by slowing down absorption and slowing down the movement of food through your stomach so that it gives you the sensation that you're full, so that you stop eating earlier, you don't eat as much. So all of the side effects appear to be gastrointestinal related. So the diabetic is sitting there saying, hey, what I'm trying to do is keep my diabetes down, my blood sugar under control, where the weight loss people are saying, hey, my goal is to lose as much weight as I possibly can. So sometimes they're willing to tolerate that. Now, the other bad thing that came out just recently is individuals who took this drug as a quick weight loss drug and then stopped it went on to put that weight back on. As we see with most people who are on a diet, whether it be a fad diet or whatever, once they get off that diet, unless they have changed their activities of how they eat and exercise and what they do, that weight is going to come back on. So we have to understand that this is not a cure for diabetes or for weight loss, but certainly a way that you can learn and teach your body better ways to eat so that the diabetes as well as the weight stays off.
It's my understanding that even when you start taking these drugs, that it needs to come. I mean, you'll feel fuller, as I understand it, as you've explained. But if you're not exercising and eating the right kinds of foods anyway, you're not really going to see much of a result.
Yeah, I mean, we have to understand that, you know, feeling full will decrease your calories. Decrease your calories will, obviously, hopefully, you'll lose some weight. I mean, that's just simple math. But to your point, we really have to take that next step. And that's what doctors are trying to do is say, hey, what I want to teach you is we'll take this medication to start to lose some weight. But in the meantime, I want you to increase your exercise and watch what you're eating. That's the individual that can come off, will go the Ozempic, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months from now, and continue to maintain that weight loss.
Right.
If all you're going to do is take the shot and not change anything, you're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah. It's something you need to speak with your own personal physician about. But they are options right now. And I've heard that there may be other drugs also, which are based on these, that also will have a similar weight loss result. I mean, that's the pill we've all been waiting for, or shot. I think Ozempic and Mounjaro both are injectable, right?
Correct. And right now they're working on a pill. And like you said, there are other drugs in the pipeline right now. We've talked about this kind of when we see a new drug come out. It's kind of like, you know, penicillin. Penicillin was the first antibiotic. Well, we are so far down the road now. Penicillin used to take 4 or 5 times a day. Now we have antibiotics that we take once a day, and they are much better, and they have less side effects, and they work better. So as you see a drug class start to be identified, you're going to see the next iteration of it be even better with less side effects and more effective as the scientists and physicians tune that medication. So it's a very bright horizon for individuals for the opportunity to lose weight by changing kind of the metabolism in the body based on a medication.
I saw an article this week that was in the New York Times about dairy fat. I don't know if you saw it, but I'd be interested in your comment on this. The article basically said, they had quoted a number of doctors who had done research on this, that you are better off having whole fat milk, yogurt, cheeses, than the skim versions, the lower fat versions. Now, you know, forever we've always thought lower fat versions give us fewer calories, therefore would be more healthy for us. But the point of this article was when you strip out the fat, you're stripping out all the nutritional value or much of the nutritional value at the same time. And that overall, you are better off with whole milk, with a whole fat yogurt, with a whole fat cheese instead of the skim versions of all these things, which frankly don't taste that great, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge argument that's going on right now of the nutritional benefits of whole milk. And you hit it right on the head there. You know, we fortified milk with vitamin D, and that's one of the great ways that we get vitamin D, which is very important. But there's also other calcium. You know, there's other things in whole milk that we need. So certainly, especially in young children, we need that because they need that fat for development of their brain. We need cholesterol. We need fat to develop our brain and develop other portions of our body. Adults sometimes look at it and say, I want to cut back on the fat. But again, if you're looking at the nutritional value, whole milk is certainly much better than skim milk or 2% milk.
And much tastier. For the first time in years yesterday, I bought whole fat yogurt, and I'm looking forward to having it because it's so delicious. I had switched down to the skim and the lowest, you know, zero fat yogurt. which was okay. But occasionally you get a full fat yogurt someplace, and oh baby, that was just so delicious. With I don't get the kind with the fruit in it, because that's just nothing but sugar. But I put my own fresh fruit in it with the yogurt, and I can't wait to get my full fat yogurt with some fruit. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you, the place that it hits me the most is chocolate milk.
Mm.
And I'm not a spokesman for Oberweis, and I don't, you know, but I'll tell you, Oberweis chocolate milk, full chocolate milk.
Full fat.
It's like so thick you feel like you need to have a spoon.
Yeah.
But boy, is it good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe you can confirm this or not, but when I've had a full fat milk or full fat yogurt or whatever, I feel fuller. So I stop sooner. So maybe there is something to that it's, I'm getting the full vitamin benefit. Plus I stop because of the full fat in it, I feel fuller quicker.
Well, there's that. And there's also the, I might eat a little more because it tastes so good.
Mm.
So,
oh yeah,
as long as you're eating it.
Yeah.
But as long as you're eating a container with the same volume, yeah, then that goes fine. If you get the big tub of it and then you scoop it out and put it in a bowl for yourself,
right.
Then you might eat a little bit more.
All right. Thanks, Debbie Downer, the week before Christmas. Leave it to Kevin to spoil the holidays for us. Quick break, and we'll come back one more time with Kevin Most. Boy, the text line, Kev, loaded with people thanking you for all of the great information that you have provided to us here on WGN through the years. Mostly statements like, thank you for getting us through COVID. 847, Doc Most, our anchor through the COVID storm. Godspeed from John and Sharon. 847 area code, Dr. Most is irreplaceable. So much great advice and information over the years. Enjoy your retirement. 815, tell Dr. Most his knowledge during COVID was invaluable. Thank you, Kevin Most. Thank you, Kevin Most. Thank you, Kevin Most. It's all over our text line this morning. So you are very definitely going to be missed here, my friend.
Well, Dean, it's been an honor and privilege to share the time we've had on these Sunday mornings over the past couple of years. And you've been a great friend for many years beyond that. So I just appreciate your listeners always have great questions, and I appreciate their politeness, and their accolades are, I don't deserve them, but I appreciate those as well.
I think we might disagree with that part. I think we might disagree with the I don't deserve them part. You are a pretty remarkable person, that's for sure. Here's a text that says, can we contact Dr. Most if we have future questions? I'll send you his personal phone number. I'll text you his, so you can call him anytime, day or night at home. The guy's retiring. Come on, give him a break here.
You know, Dean, there's a couple people that have that phone number that can call anytime.
Secret Dr. Most. Yes.
You know, we discussed last week, you know, Jack has my number, and who knows, maybe you'll invite me for a guest appearance every so often.
You are more than welcome anytime that you want, but we most certainly, recognize you want to enjoy your life. You want to relax a little bit, as you'd mentioned. You want to spend, more time with your family and your friends, and, a retirement is always bittersweet. You know, for us, we're going to miss you tremendously, but, you know, we love you and we want you to enjoy. So, you know, we're happy, happy for you. Here's the 847 area code. Thank you so much for all of the information that you've provided. My wife and daughter are nurse practitioners, and I still go by your advice. Oh, well, that must be comfortable with that. That must be super comfortable in the house when you're completely ignoring your wife and daughter. Well, the guy on the radio said, Dr. Most, thank you and best wishes from Indianapolis. 708 area code, Sunday morning highlights, Dean and Company banter, and Dr. Most, the voice of information and reason. So many wonderful comments for you here on the line. Let me see, what else do we have here? Yeah, Dr. 8312 area code. Thank you, Dr. Most. Congratulations on your retirement, and take care. A lot of people are wishing you nothing but the best, and so do we. You are more than welcome to come on and chat with us anytime. You know, I would like to continue your legacy with this health segment that really was kind of born out of the COVID crisis, but it's become one of the most popular features of the show. I think partially, in huge part to you because of the way that you present the information. But I think people want information about their health and taking care of themselves. So in honor of you, we're going to continue doing the health segment. In what manner that's going to happen, we haven't figured that out just yet. But we're going to continue in your honor, Kevin. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Happy New Year. All the best. And we look forward to being in touch every once in a while.
You got it, Dean. Thank you very much. And again, thanks for the opportunity to share some information. And hopefully I did make an impact on some lives. So I appreciate it, and you and I will talk after the first of the year.
Who put together that list of the top restaurants?
Open Table.
What drunk person did that?
Open Table. Six local restaurants on its list of the 100 most popular spots.
All very nice restaurants that are on there, but not my favorite kind of restaurants, personally.
Well, okay.
Those are the super fancy schmancy five-star joints. You got to get a second mortgage to go to most of those places.
I like that.
We do like the old school,
yeah,
back to basics type of restaurants.
Absolutely. That whenever they put out the, you know, quote so called experts put out their list of the best restaurants, they always come up with these fancy schmancy joints. I was at last night. I went to Pasta D'Arte. Have you ever been?
No.
Pasta D'Arte is on the northwest side of Chicago. It's on Milwaukee Avenue, 6311 North Milwaukee, to be exact. And it's an old school Italian restaurant. Incredibly delicious food there. Every time I've gone, it's one of my new favorite. I mean, they've been there forever, but I've been looking for an old school Italian place, you know, to go to, and I can't recommend Pasta D'Arte enough. It was fantastic. They should be on that list.
We have so many wonderful Italian restaurants around the city.
Yeah, you know what made it extra special last night?
What's that?
Right behind me. Somebody brought their very loud children. I'm trying to enjoy my linguine di mare.
So we've got everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't blame the kid. I blame the parents. I blame the parents. If you've got a whiny kid like that, don't go
whiny.
To a
whiny.
Don't go to a restaurant.
They were screaming.
They were screaming. They were. I thought there was some tortured demonstration going on behind me.
I'm sure you've been on a plane where there are rather upset children.
Yeah. The parents do their best, but...
Yeah, there's not much you can do on a plane.
And all I could think of, when I was a kid, I mean, we didn't go out to eat that much when we were a kid. But if we did and we made noise, you would pay the penalty.
You had your penalty when you got home.
You would pay the penalty if not right at the table of the restaurant. That didn't happen. So. Shouldn't a parent,
play that, Jack? Do you have that sound again?
Shouldn't a parent take the child out somewhere to...
Yes.
Yeah, to go through the little hissy fit, yeah.
Yeah. Would you care for more wine?
Bring two bottles.
Give one to the kid. Absolutely Chicago Christmas classic. Susie Snowflake, introduced on WGN back in the 1950s. If you grew up in Chicago, you grew up watching these features with Frazier Thomas, on the Garfield Goose, on the Bozo Show through the years. And more recently, since 2005, Schwani, is when the Bozo Gar and Ray special first premiered, 2005.
Right, yeah, I remember the premiere.
Yeah, and it's been going strong ever since. And included in this two-hour special that remembers the three most popular children's television shows in Chicago, Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, and Garfield Goose, we also include these wonderful vignettes. Susie Snowflake, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Frosty the Snowman.
I love the Frosty the Snowman.
I watch every year. I enjoy it. It brings back such memories.
Yeah.
All these years, since 2005, we get emails from people saying, you know, it brought back wonderful memories of their childhood and growing up. And we will be repeating that, as we always do. It's part of a WGN TV holiday tradition now. Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN TV Classics, Christmas morning from 9 to 11. And then we've got more Bozo nostalgia after that. 11 until 1 p.m. will be Bozo Circus the 1960s. And then Bozo Circus the 1970s from 1 until 3 p.m. So Bozo Gar and Ray starting at 9 a.m., the 60s special at 11, the 70s special at 1 o'clock after that. You know what I enjoy most about Bozo Gar and Ray? Seeing what I looked like.
I was going to say what
ago.
You looked like. just a quick question about that. I thought I heard you say that you hear not only from people that grew up with these like we did, bringing back memories, but also their kids may enjoy them.
They tell me their kids and grandkids watch mesmerized.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching,
fascinated
shows.
By it.
Because, kids' shows these days are bang, bang, bang. Everything's fast and quick. And, you know, these shows, the great Bob Bell, Roy Brown, go down the list, Ray Rayner, Frazier Thomas, Don Sandberg, Marshall Brodeen. These guys were all, incredible entertainers. And they took their time, and they had fun. And
oh, did they have fun?
Oh, my gosh. Both for the kids.
And for the grown-ups.
There was a level of fun for the kids, but, these guys were also having fun. And it translated on a different level for adults. You'll be able to watch it and relive the memories like we always do. Christmas morning, starting at 9 o'clock, Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN TV Classics. And if I do say so myself, I don't look a day older.
That's what you say.
Thanks to our makeup department. I can't even go through our makeup department anymore. Now, before I go on television, I stop at Earl Scheib. And... What's Earl Scheib, Uncle Dean?
What's the price these days?
$39.95.
That was a famous paint your car place.
Was it $39 or $29?
I thought it was $99. I thought it was $99.
Maybe $99. Yeah,
you can get your car painted for $39. That's
any car, any color.
That Earl Scheib was such a warm individual, wasn't he? That's exactly how he sounded.
Warm like sandpaper.
So all the holiday movies are opening up. We had the Wonka movie that opened on Friday. Looks like that's going to be the number one movie of the weekend. And it's great. I gave it a Dean's List A. Really charming. This new Emma Stone movie, Poor Little Things, is extremely, extremely R-rated. It's extremely raucous, raunchy, and irreverent. But is a complete original. I gave it a Dean's List B+. And this week, I'll be reviewing the new Aquaman movie, American Fiction, new animated movie, Migration. We've got Iron Claw that's opening this coming Friday. And then on Christmas Day, The Color Purple, which I've already seen, is amazing. Ferrari. George Clooney directed.
This is the current version of Color Purple.
This is the they took the original movie and then they made it into a stage musical on Broadway.
Right.
Won like 7 Tony Awards. Mm-hmm. Now they've taken the stage musical and turned it back into a movie again. And it's magnificent. It's so beautiful. They've done such a good job with it. So I'll be giving full reviews on that. Maestro, the Leonard Bernstein movie, which has been in a single theater since it opened a couple of weeks ago, debuts on Netflix this coming Wednesday.
I was going to say, it's the 22nd, I think, is the debut of that.
Yeah, Wednesdays. That's going to be on Netflix. So I'll be telling you all about those on the TV Morning News. When we come right back, a little mini version of our food show today. What are the best Christmas cookbooks that are out there? We'll cover that next. It is 10:21.
It's gonna be a special
Dean Richards Sunday morning, our final show before Christmas, preempted next week for holiday programming. So we're going to try to wind things up here today a little bit in our shortened show, getting ready for Hamp and OB at 11. I wanted to spend a little time talking about food and the best Christmas cookbooks are out there. Southern Living Magazine has put together a list of what they consider the seven best Christmas cookbooks that are out there. And Ivy Odom is their senior lifestyle editor for the magazine and website. And Ivy, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays to you.
Hi, Dean. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. So what qualifies for a great Christmas cookbook in the eyes of you and your fellow editors there?
You know, I think one of the things that we love most about Christmas cookbooks and holiday cookbooks in general is that everybody can find a recipe online, but the holidays are all about nostalgia and kind of recipes that you grew up making, or maybe your grandmother or grandfather grew up making them. And really only cookbooks are the place that you can go to find these older recipes. And there's just something about opening up a grease-stained, tattered page of a cookbook come holiday time that just feels like the extra special during the holidays.
That's why I was so happy to see The Joy of Cooking on your list, which is not a Christmas cookbook, but is, you know, should be anybody's first cookbook they ever get, because it covers everything, doesn't it? Mine is so, you know, tomato sauce stained and everything. You know, back in the day, I would use it all the time, occasionally still do, but it is just one of the greatest cookbooks ever.
Exactly, yes. It's like at the top of our list for every best cookbook of all time, including at Christmas. And like you said, yes, it's not a Christmas cookbook, but it's a classic American one. And I have multiple copies. I have one of the original, you know, first printing copies, and then a more modern one, which I think is a very cool, like, testament to how much people love The Joy of Cooking. And I think the reason people go to it, especially around the holiday time, is because it's not just about the recipes. There's also tips for entertaining and how to put together a menu, tips for measuring, and just like lots of culinary knowledge coming from that classic book.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, if you have a foodie on your holiday gift list and you know you don't think they have The Joy of Cooking, it would be a fabulous, fabulous Christmas gift.
Would be, and even if they do have it, if you could find one of the first editions of it, they would really treasure it too. Yeah.
Right, or maybe they have an old edition, which is cool, and then you get them the new one, which is updated. I think I have two or three versions of it as well. I bought one when I got my first apartment back in the 70s, and I've updated it a couple of times, and I've gotten rid of a lot of my cookbooks because you know they take up a lot of space and all that.
They do.
But there are some that I absolutely will not get rid of, and Joy of Cooking is definitely one. Another that you have on your list of the best Christmas cookbooks, Martha Stewart's Living Christmas Cookbook. That's a classic.
Yes. Martha Stewart is a classic. We love everything that she does, especially when it comes to entertaining. Her book especially, it's been around for a good amount of time, like The Joy of Cooking, obviously not as long as that, but she can take something that's super easy and make it seem very approachable. She has like over 600 recipes in this cookbook, and it can go from eggnog to roasted goose. So we all love Martha, so it can be something that is very adventurous that maybe we've never tried before, or we can always find those classics that we know we would like to.
I just saw Martha Stewart, a young Martha Stewart, on with Julia Child. You know how she had, you know, young guest chefs on, and it was so interesting seeing, you know, somebody who would become a cooking legend cooking with the cooking legend herself, Julia Child. Really interesting. Another legend is the James Beard Award-winning author Dori Greenspan. She's got a number.
I love her.
Yeah, she's got a lot of cookbooks out, but she's got one in particular called Dori's Cookies, right?
Yes, she has so many. Like, if you're going to a cookbook, anything by Dori Greenspan about baking is just the pinnacle of what you should be looking at. But this cookie book, especially around the holidays, is fun. We all love a good cookie swap, and we're always looking for inventive recipes. She takes recipes that are like not necessarily you would think of them as a cookie. It's just another sweeter dessert, and then she cookie-izes them and turns it into a cookie. So it always is something fun coming from that book.
Yeah, some of the other cookbook authors that we know, Ina Garten here in the States is one of them. Nigella Lawson is another, who has the Nigella Christmas Food, Family, Friends, and Festivities. Tell us, I'm not familiar with that book. Tell me a little about that.
So she has a lot of options for menus that cover around different protein options, which is fun because a lot of times, people are always, they might have their classic side dishes, but maybe they're trying to find something adventurous. So there's something for a stuffed pumpkin that's a vegetarian option. Mm. She has dinners that center around turkey or beef. So it really is a great option whenever you're looking to find a different protein to serve for your holiday menu.
Yeah, the Great British Bake Off Christmas book is also on the list of the seven best Christmas cookbooks out there. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention the Southern Living 2023 Christmas cookbook that you guys put out. Tell us a little about that.
So Southern Living, we put out an annual Christmas book every year with new recipes from our test kitchen and beautiful photography with, great entertaining tips and menu ideas. We also have a Southern Living Christmas cookbook that is kind of like a compilation of a lot of Christmas ideas with over 350 recipes and 32 menus and photos that talk about the entertaining process. So it really is a great one, especially if you're really trying to amp up your entertaining for the holidays.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite recipe or two out of that? I imagine the editors probably pick and chose and, put their favorites in there. Do you have some that are in that book?
It's hard to choose, but I think Southern Living, one of the things that we're known for every year is putting a white cake on our December cover of our magazine. And it's a different flavor on the inside, but the cake is always frosted in a white frosting. And we include a lot of those recipes in the Southern Living Christmas book. So it's fun to kind of see how those cakes have changed over the years and things that were really popular maybe in the 80s are still popular now. So I love cooking through those Christmas cakes just because they're super impressive, but pretty easy to make, and they're always fun to do.
The big white cake is what I should look for in there, huh?
Yes. This year on our magazine, we put a red bird on the cover, which is a super nostalgic. So there's a whole story about red birds at Christmas and how they remind you of loved ones that have passed on and they're coming to, visit you. And it's just like a really sweet memento for Christmas. Oh. So that's on our cover this year. And it's really, the red bird is special for us.
Okay. So if people want to get info on any of these books, the Southern Living 2023 cookbook, which, by the way, the profits from that cookbook benefit Ronald McDonald House Charity. So that's another reason why you should add it to your list. How do we get info on all of these cookbooks?
You can head to southernliving.com to find out more. You can also follow us on social media at Southern Living Mag on Instagram. We do a lot of videos on TikTok if people are on there. So you can keep up with us on a lot of places.
Yeah, I really enjoy all the recipes and everything that you have there. Southern Living is one of my favorites, and I go to it often for ideas. I really appreciate you joining us today. It is Ivy Odom, who is the senior lifestyle editor, Southern Living Magazine. I appreciate you joining us, and a very Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining us.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Dean.
Attaboy, Clarence.
And that's the point where I'm weeping uncontrollably watching the movie version of It's a Wonderful Life every year. One of the classics of all time. And I'll tell you what we have got in Chicago is another classic version of It's a Wonderful Life. It's the one that's put on by the American Blues Theater. It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago, which is a live interactive show, and it's become a little bit of a tradition that they join us every year now, as they now go into their 21st annual season of this wonderful show.
My business, because
that is amazing to me. I can't.
Functionality.
Have
nice.
We been? Have we been doing this this long?
Some of us have,
and yet we haven't aged a day.
Yeah, that's right. You actually look younger, Mike. You've got some kind of Benjamin Button thing going on.
Oh, you're too kind.
That is Michael Mahler.
You should see the portrait.
Who is the musical director of the show and the announcer. What else? You do everything.
A couple of things. Yeah, I get to write the jingles every year. We get different corporate sponsors for the show. So I write little 1940s style jingles for all the different companies. And the music director and the announcer, and I play Bert the Cop and a couple other things.
Yeah, because the show is done like a 1940s radio show.
Exactly.
Old-time 1940s radio show, which has always been so entertaining.
Yeah, that's right. We have all the actors play a bunch of different parts just by changing the sounds of our voices.
This is madness, you say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really fun. It's
theater of the mind? What? It'll never catch on, I tell you. Exactly. Brandon Dahlquist is the role. I hate to call it the role that that Jimmy Stewart does, because that minimizes your. But I mean, I guess people know it.
Sure,
Jimmy Stewart's George Bailey.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart's a draw, and I'm just in service of the show. So I've played George now. This is my seventh season.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Still fun.
Oh my gosh,
great
time. I look forward to it. It's kind of come to be the holidays for me in Chicago. You know, I'm not from here originally, and so it's kind of chosen family to get to spend time with and tell the story that, you know, always fills me up at this time of year.
Yeah, me too. It's very special. Playing Mary Bailey is Audrey Billings.
Hi.
Nice to have you back.
Thank
with
you
us
for
here.
Having me back.
I don't know why your microphone's not working over there.
Either.
Let me see here.
Do I need to press a button?
It should be working. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe.
I've been talking to Ian's.
There you go.
Thanks for having me back.
It's nice to have you back here again.
It's so good to, you know, get to revisit Bedford Falls. It's not quite the holidays until we start It's a Wonderful Life. There's nothing like a full-on injection of Christmas to get your holiday juices going. And it's
gross.
Sorry about that image.
When you think holidays, you think injections.
Right.
Michael's, you know, he's so into the whole COVID thing still.
Yeah, exactly.
Injections.
Oh,
and
let's put it behind.
Yeah.
I think what makes this year particularly special is that we're in our new home, our new theater up
right.
at 5627 North Lincoln Avenue. It's just like, it's incredible to be part of a new neighborhood and to know that we'll be there hopefully forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, even when there's a new Mary and a new George, and it's really pretty special to be bringing the show into our own space.
Yeah, I love that you've got your own spot.
It's pretty magical.
Because you did bounce around for a little while there.
Oh, yes.
It feels like this is maybe the biggest Christmas gift for the theater ever. It's pretty magical. And seeing people walk into the space and how excited they are.
Sure.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's great. And that's a great neighborhood. You know, my mother lived exactly one block away from where your theater is. I was looking at your address. Like, wait a minute, I know this.
Nice.
That's right by Mom's house.
Wow.
I've driven by there 10,000 times.
It's been amazing. We've had so many people from the neighborhood already come to the show.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We stay out afterwards and greet people because Milk and Cookies are back, baby.
Yeah.
So many people from the neighborhood are just make sure they stop, not for cookies, but to say, like, welcome to the neighborhood, and we're so glad you're here.
And they don't miss the Dollar General that used to be there.
Yeah, they do not.
Yeah. Also joining us this morning is Ian Paul Custer, who plays Harry Bailey. Wonderful to have you
here. Hey, thanks for having me here. Yeah, I play Harry Bailey, Ernie the Cab Driver, Martini, a bunch of others. Michael's got me playing saxophone this year.
Wow.
In the show. I know, he's crazy. He's got all these musical genius things going on. And this is my 10th year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's crazy. Is it fun playing multiple roles like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get... it keeps me on my toes, you know. Wendy has me doing like a Scottish accent this year, and so like different things like that. It's a lot of fun though, especially when you get to pop in and You know, try and get Brandon off of his balance here during the show a little bit.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe that. You're such a veteran.
I'm a solid presence on stage. I never crack, Dean.
I know. Never. You're a complete professional. I've seen your professionalism up close and personal here. And also joining us on what's called Foley is J.G. Smith. Foley is the sound effects person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
What kind of sound have you brought with you here this morning?
Oh, my gosh. What haven't I brought?
Let's hear a little of what you've...
Well, let's see. I've got something that sounds like a little bit like glass breaking or maybe somebody dropping a dish. And if you're ready for this, America.
Oh, I felt it.
You felt it in your bones, didn't you?
That's good.
We have a couple of milder sounds as well, just like a car door closing or car door opening up again.
Look at that.
A little door slam. Nice. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. We don't want to give away too much of the magic here just yet. Michael, what's it like, being in your new digs now?
It's so exciting. It's the
5627 North Lincoln Avenue, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We love it there. There's great parking.
That's a big deal for people when they go to the theater.
Yep. Yeah, it's comfortable. It's beautiful. And, you know, my personal favorite thing is that there are so many bathrooms backstage.
Oh, yeah.
It's really wonderful. Like, nice. you really come to appreciate that as an actor. It's a luxury that we don't take for granted.
Right. But, if they're taking care of the actors, the patrons must be.
Yeah, the patrons are really lovely.
Oh, the lobby's gorgeous. There's a beautiful bar. It's spacious, elegant. It's really impressive.
Yeah,
you'll appreciate this, Dean. There's a place in the bar where we have a little like tribute to Johnny. There's his scarf that he used to wear as Mr. Potter in the show, hanging up there forever.
Love
which
it.
Is a really kind of beautiful tribute to a great guy.
Yeah, we sure miss him. Always was here to be part of the program. So I know you guys have a couple of scenes that you're going to do for us here. So let me take a quick break and we'll come right back with the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago from the American Blues Theater. Their new location, 5627 North Lincoln Avenue. Got questions, 773-654-3103 or boxoffice@americanbluestheater.com. But we're talking It's a Wonderful Life here today. Michael, you've got that guitar strapped around you.
I do.
Do you have a little... Do you have a little musical something here, too?
Oh, we do. You know, we
could. Because this is also part of the show.
Yeah, that's music, right. Yeah. Every year we have different sponsors that we write little 1940-style jingles for, and we have one for you guys if you want to hear it.
I would love that.
Who do you choose for theater reviews? Hollywood news and celeb interviews. Sundays at 9, weekday mornings till 10. Catch Dean Richards on WGN.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that was so good.
Awesome. It's beautiful. I'm beyond honored. Michael actually gave me the sheet music to that a couple of years ago.
That's right.
That I have
that'll be worth tens of dollars.
I have it at my desk. When you become famous,
there you go.
It's going to be worth something.
I hope you had him sign it.
Actually, he did sign it.
I did.
What scene are you guys going to do for us first here, Brandon?
I think we'll give you a little taste of the budding romance between George and Mary.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, Mary, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know about deserted houses? Yeah, you gotta make a wish, and then you throw a rock.
Oh, George, that place is so lovely. I wish I lived there.
What, that place? Well, I wouldn't live there even as a ghost. Hey, now you watch this, Your Highness. Second floor, right above the parlor. Hot dog!
What's going on over there?
Hey, well now, who's that?
Oh, it's just old man Collins. What'd you wish for, George?
Oh, well, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off of my feet, and I'm gonna see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum, and then I'll come back here and go to college and see what they know. And then, I'm gonna build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories tall. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. What, are you going to throw one too? Say, Mary, that's pretty good. Hey, well, now what did you wish for?
Oh, no, if I tell you, it won't come true.
Well, hey, come on now, Mary. Well, now what do you want, huh? Hey, do you want the moon, huh? You just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it. I'll pull it down and give it to you.
I'll take it. And then what?
Oh, well, then you could swallow it. And it all dissolves, see? And then the moonbeams would shoot out of your hair and your toes and your fingers. And am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Wait, now, how's that?
I said, why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Oh, you want me to kiss her, huh?
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Fantastic. That's just so good. This is the reason why you all have to go and see this show. It's playing through New Year's Eve, right?
That's right.
Yeah. New Year's Eve. So plenty of time during the holiday break to go and catch the show. It's A Wonderful Life live in Chicago, the old-time radio adaptation, I guess you might say. And you've got one more scene for us, I think, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Do we have a little musical interlude here, Michael?
Oh, sure.
While they're scrolling, I love that you guys you've all gone to iPads now.
We have.
This morning. Back in the old days, you'd come in with papers, pages. Would be flying everywhere.
I think one of the best parts about this new inception of the show is that we spend a little time doing improv with Mike.
Oh.
So the audience can choose a musical artist and a Christmas carol that they love. And Mike will, on the spot, create something from those two suggestions. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I have many thoughts, except we won't have time. So we'll have to do it next segment. I want to get this next scene in,
which
is what? What is this?
This is when George has gotten his wish to never have been born, and he runs into some of his dearest friends from his past.
Take it away, you guys.
Hey, Ernie. Ernie, where'd the building and loan move to?
The building and what?
The Bailey building and loan. It was right up there.
They went out of business years ago.
No, that's just not true, Ernie. Oh, Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Where do you live?
Oh, now doggone it, Ernie. Don't you start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore. Hurry up. Now Zuzu's sick.
All right. 320 Sycamore, huh?
Oh, look here, Ernie. Straighten me out here. I got some bad liquor or something. Now listen to me. Now, your name is Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and your kid. Now, that's right, isn't it?
You seen my wife?
Seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times.
Look, bud, what's the idea? I live in a shack in Potter's Field, and my wife ran away 3 years ago and she took the kid. I ain't never seen you before in my life.
Okay. Okay, all right. We'll just step on it then. Just get me home.
What happens next?
We have to come to the theater.
To find out.
What could it be?
He goes home?
But nobody knows who he is. Everywhere he goes, nobody knows who he is. It's the best. I'm so happy that you guys could come in to be a part of the show here today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. We're always glad to be here.
It's always my pleasure. Congratulations on your new home.
Thank you.
And I hope everyone will go to see It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago at their brand new home, 5627 North Lincoln Avenue. While you're over there, go and see if the new owners of my mom's house are taking care of the building properly. They promised me they would when we sold it. So make sure the grass is cut and it's all that sort of thing.
We'll check in on it.
Yeah, thank you. It's the play is going till December 31st.
Yep.
And you can get info by calling 773-654-3103 or by going to Box Office, AmericanBluesTheater.com, or you can email boxoffice@AmericanBluesTheater.com. Take us out with a little something here, a little song. We have like a couple of minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you have for us here, Michael?
Well,
Tom Petty, Winter Wonderland.
Wonderland?
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Boy, all right.
Nice.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. What a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a wonderland. Hold me by my frosty hand. I feel Christmas creeping in, and it's time for that holiday.
again.
Okay, you are just a freaking genius.
He is amazing. Yeah.
You are amazing. Talented, yes. All those things, you are just a freaking genius. You are the greatest.
Don't ask me to give you directions home because I'm horrible.
Doesn't matter. All you can do Tom Petty doing Winter Wonderland. Yeah. I don't care if I ever find my way home. Michael Mahler is the musical director, and Brandon Dahlquist is George Bailey. Audrey Billings is Mary Bailey. Ian Paul Custer is Harry and a whole variety of characters. And J.G. Smith is the sound effects person, the Foley artist. Thank you guys, everybody, for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
And happy, happy holidays to you. And that is going to wind up our program here for today. This is our final program before Christmas time because of holiday programming that we'll have on next week. We won't be here next Sunday morning, but I just wanted to take an opportunity from all of us here on the Sunday morning show to say thank you for listening every week. Thank you for putting up with our silly shenanigans that we put up with and provide to you every Sunday morning. We really appreciate it, of you being here. I hope you and your families have a very, very safe and happy holiday season. We will see you New Year's Eve morning. And another tradition that we've been doing, I don't know, for like decades now, something. We end our show with Darlene Love doing Christmas Baby Please Come Home from the David Letterman Show, which was a tradition on his show for years. Merry, Merry Christmas, everyone.